1057 WLGC presents Airing It Out. Now, here's your host, Drew Skaggs.
This is Airing It Out, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of 1057 WLGC, located two blocks from the always crystal clear Ohio River. Welcome to the juggernaut known as AIO, where we bring to you topical talk radio that is informative, illustrative, ingratiating, instigating, invigorating, and infuriating emotions felt all at the exact same time. 2 hours of broadcast fun and frivolity straight ahead. Is fun and frivolity, is that the same thing?
Not exactly. Not exactly.
Okay, good. I'm glad. I didn't want to do a double thing there. When it wasn't necessary.
Right.
I wish I just popped up on the Ironton Tribune website here, and they've done an investigative. They've done investigative journalism.
Wow.
A very long story. It's entitled "The Ride to Stay High: How Drug Addicts Manipulate EMS and Hospitals for Their Fix." Okay, so it's so long, I really can't go through it, but I can tell you this. It just says, the call is made, Lawrence County 911. What's your emergency? I need an ambulance right away. What's your condition? I'm having severe chest pains. They're really bad. Please hurry. EMS will soon be dispatched. Can I confirm your address as blah, blah, blah? Those three numbers are dialed hundreds of times a year to the county's downtown Ironton Dispatch Center. Someone feels extreme chest, abdominal, or joint pain and contacts 911 for immediate help. Okay, so that's what you do, right?
Yeah.
However, what they're saying here, I guess, is what the caller and only the caller knows is that his chest is not throbbing in pain. Actually, his chest is fine. What he has done is reserve his personal medical limousine for transport to the head of the line at the area ER, an emergency room that may unknowingly feed his current prescription drug addiction. So, did you get that?
Yeah.
How's universal health care going to help that? I guarantee you, at that point, people say, hey, come get me. Give me the pills. Give me the prescriptions for my drugs because I've got insurance. And it's going to be abused as things that appear to be free and are told are free. It's going to be abused. You can tell it's already being abused. You can already tell it with this article, and I guess that'll have to stay till Wednesday because I've not gotten a chance to dissect it at all. Speaking of, you're listening, by the way, to Airing It Out. We can be reached two different ways, 1-800-551-1057, or by going to drewskaggs.com. That is with a K for the live internet feed, live internet stream of the show, audio and visual. So I'm allergic to cats, speaking of medical conditions. I'm just allergic to them. So, you know, I've got a dog. He's become a vital part of the family in just about 6 months, a lab. And I thought, correct me if I'm wrong here, Jeffrey, I thought dogs didn't like cats.
Most of them
I've seen Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
I've seen it. Tom's all the time trying to whack Jerry in a variety of different ways.
That's cat and mouse.
You're exactly right. That is a cat and a mouse.
But there is a big mean
Spike,
dog on there.
Spike's on there. Thanks for saving me there. So you know what I'm saying? Spike doesn't like Tom. Who
right.
Tom is the cat.
Right.
Is the feline. So see, it works.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't really go how I thought it, we eventually got to the point where it worked.
Yeah.
How come my dog won't chase a cat out of my yard? He just kind of looks at him. Eventually, see, the cat, I'm not a cat person. Obviously, I'm allergic to them. But, man, they're tough.
Yeah.
I mean, a cat comes strolling over at him. And finally, you know, when he gets within 5 feet of him, Ralph just kind of takes notice of him and, you know, ears flatten back a little bit. And then the cat is the one hissing and doing this and attacks my dog. How is that possible? Do I have a wimp for a dog? Is that what it is?
I don't know. I mean,
I'm just very concerned.
Maybe you haven't trained him properly.
Can I train him to go after a cat?
I would think so.
I don't want to, though, really, because it's my neighbor's cat. You see how this works?
Yeah.
I want him out of my yard, strictly for the allergy factor.
I don't know.
Could he just usher him out, do you think?
Maybe.
You know, just say, hey, listen.
Just hand him one of those little flashlights and treat him like an air traffic controller.
And just get him out.
Just, you know, use the little flashlight to point him in the right direction.
Bring him forward and send him out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just something I was thinking of. Dateline Ironton Tribune, car makers owe some answers. Now, this is an amazing editorial to me. Like it or not, the reality is that the federal government is now involved in the auto industry. Now the American taxpayer is left wondering exactly what this means. While the government has a tightrope to walk, to its involvement. What? Once again, is there something past spell check, sentence check? That makes no sense.
I don't think there is.
I know, obviously. That situation was magnified Monday when U.S. Representative Charlie Wilson joined more than 100 other members of Congress asking President Barack Obama to request Chrysler and GM halt all proposed dealership closures until some questions can be answered. Congress is right to ask this, and we hope President Obama and the auto manufacturers comply, at least temporarily avoiding the loss of hundreds of thousands of jobs. Wait a second here. He has promised us 3.5 million jobs. Has he not? This is not a good start.
Yeah.
Not a good start at all.
Yeah.
Central to the questions that Congress wants answered are, who is making the decisions to close these dealerships and what criteria was used? Come on, Ironton Tribune. You know who's decided to close these dealerships. It's who owns the car companies now. The federal government. However, our concern is that too much government involvement will bring politics into play and create a lobbying nightmare as the various congressmen fight to save jobs in their district or states. Now? You're concerned now that there's going to be too much government involvement? After the deal is done, here comes the concern? Where was the concern prior to this? That isn't what we need. The American taxpayer, who, because of billions of dollars in bailout funds, now essentially has a vested interest in these manufacturers and a right to know how the restructuring process is being handled, deserves to know that this is being handled appropriately. Transparency, I tell you. That is transparency at work. That's what we were promised, wasn't it? Transparency in government. That was kind of a buzzword during election season. This government, my administration, is going to be the most transparent administration ever. Doesn't sound so transparent right now. Because nobody knows what they're doing. Have no idea. It's just carte blanche. Yeah, they're going to take care of it. They're going to handle it. And once the can is kicked down the road, and then, and only then, do they ask the questions. Do you know what June 12th? We'll get off the car manufacturers. June 12th. Today's 14th, correct? So Sunday,
right.
Friday. Do you know what Friday was the 15th anniversary of?
No.
Since Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman were murdered. Can you believe that 15 years?
Wow, no, that's hard
you know,
to believe.
Here's what I was thinking about. You know, you get told all the time, and I know you as a well, you're not a young crumb cruncher, but you're still relatively young.
Yeah.
You get told all the time, it's just going to go in a hurry. You know, you have no idea how fast time flies. And you are sitting there going, yeah, whatever, okay? Because you've heard it a lot.
Right.
This just brings it home for me. 15 years since those two were married. Of course, murdered. OJ is serving his prison term in Nevada. So now you know what that means. The real killer will never be found.
True.
I mean, never. I mean, because OJ is behind bars.
Yeah.
And you know that he worked as hard as I worked as hard as I ever have. to find that killer. And nothing. That killer has not. That killer is still out there. Well, he is, but we know exactly where he is. We probably, through transparency's sake, know his cell number. And I don't mean cell phone. Which, by the way, they're taxing. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Another tax coming down the pipeline. What is this? You got number one ready to go as we go into this break? You got number one?
I do.
Dateline Wall Street Journal. Tax man's target now, the mobile phone.
Can you hear me now?
The use of company-issued mobile phones could trigger new federal income taxes on millions of Americans as a, quote, fringe benefit, unquote. The IRS proposed that employers assign 25% of an employee's annual phone expenses as a taxable benefit. Under that scenario, a worker in the 28% tax bracket whose wireless device costs the company $1,500 a year could see $105 in additional federal income tax. Not a day goes by that those people on Capitol Hill they don't come up with some new way to separate us from our money. Of course, it's all for the public good. You're listening to Airing It Out wherever you are. It's muggy, isn't it? At least it's not raining.
Right.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Wherever you are this evening, wherever that might be, we appreciate the fact that you're taking time out of your schedule. Or including or encompassing multitasking, listening to us while doing other things. We're just glad that you're listening. And we had a call during the break. Kevin, I believe he said he was from Memphis. Is that where he said he was from? I don't know. I talked to him.
No.
You're supposed to be able to read my mind.
Sorry.
And we've talked to Kevin before. And he's a working guy in this area. I would dare say, you remember talking to Kevin, he's got three girls, and then sounds like he's got he said he's got an eight-month-old now, an eight-month-old boy. So he's had another baby somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
We know what causes that these days. The last time he called in, you know, we had a long conversation, and I asked him how things are going, and he said not very well. And I hate to hear that. I do. Kevin, just keep plugging. That's all you can do. I know that you know that. But he said, I paid $4.25 for a bag of frozen water.
Wow.
I've never heard it called frozen water. Ice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you ever called it current?
No.
Yeah, he said, of course, it was the big bag.
And I've never heard it cost that much either.
I know. I know. So what he was talking about was the prices are going up while jobs are getting scarce and wages are stagnating. And I told him, I said, you've not seen anything yet. You really haven't. As we've talked on this show, you cannot put trillions of dollars into this economy, which, boy, that's worked well, hasn't it? You just can't throw money, print money, and throw it into an economy. Because what you have, the boomerang effect that happens, is you have inflation on a large scale. And that is, it's just over the horizon. As anything does with an economic cycle, it takes a while for it to happen. That's why they're called cycles. And I have argued to no end on this show that this government intervention is utterly ridiculous. You let the business cycle, you let it take place, because the recovery comes. The recovery eventually comes, and it comes quicker than propping up, choosing which companies you're going to prop up, and not only that, pumping money into this economy, into whatever it is, TARP, the trillions that have been put into it. It comes with a cost. And it's hard to, I know with everybody doing their everyday thing, their everyday lives, it's hard to take those figures and say, well, how, I don't know, it's not affecting me. How's it going to affect me? It's going to affect you because that bag of ice is going to be $6 in 18 months. Well, how does that happen when you throw a bunch of money into it? Well, what you have then is you have that money's got to go somewhere. So if you've got, let's just use milk as an example. You're going to have that money chasing commodities, be it milk, be it agricultural items. It does not matter. You've got that money chasing something. And what happens is that money goes after various sundry things all across our economy. And you've got this money competing. And what happens when you have this money trying to buy things up? Well, the price goes up because you've got the money chasing it. And then what you have is inflation. And like I said, it's hard to quantify. It really is. But the gamble that this administration is making is we're going to throw this money out there. The economy's going to recover. There's going to be more disposable income. People are going to be working again. We're going to be able to pay down some of this debt. And we won't have this inflation. But it's a very real threat. No matter what they tell you, they're not going to spook investors any more than they're already spooked or spooked to average everyday people like you and me. They're not going to go out there and say, well, you know, listen, we've got to really keep an eye on this inflation deal, because they know what happens then. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. But that prophecy has already been fulfilled, because they've put trillions of dollars into this economy. And when you have that money floating around, Kevin, that 4.25 bag of ice is going to be $6. And that gallon of milk's going to be $5. It's just a fact of economics, which this administration has thrown out the baby and the bathwater. You're listening to Airing It Out, 1-800-551-1057.
Listening to Airing It Out with Drew Skaggs. The show will continue after this brief pause on the Best Country 105.7 WLGC. The Best Country 105.7 WLGC now returns you to Airing It Out. Once again, here's Drew Skaggs.
What was that?
I have no idea.
That wasn't the fire alarm, was it?
No.
All right. This is Airing It Out. Welcome back to the program, wherever you are this evening. Thanks so much for sharing some of that time with us. Kevin called back during the break, said he agreed with it, with what I said, and what are we going to do? Fix it. It would take me a month of Sundays to go through it. But how about this? 5% across the board tax cut. Instead of raising taxes on working families, cut their taxes. Increase the tax credit for children from $1,000 to $5,000. It's $1,000 now for each kid under the age of 17. It's going to provide a substantial immediate tax cut for middle class families. You know, right off the bat. Take the capital gains taxes and dividends, and for 2 years, say no taxes. You got to get rid of the AMT, which is just killing people. A tax that was created in 1969 to prevent 150 wealthy American taxpayers from using loopholes in the tax code to avoid paying taxes altogether back in 69. But Congress, in their wisdom, once again, didn't index it to anything. So that same amount of money that was back in 1969 was for the super wealthy is now hitting more than 30 million people. How about you make all withdrawals from IRAs tax and penalty free during 2009 or 2010, a two-year deal, where people that are struggling can take some out of there and not get banged for early, you get taxes and penalty for early withdrawal. And I know this is not, this would never happen with this administration, but reduce the corporate tax rate from 35 to 25%. The most important thing. Repeal this stimulus package. Even before this latest $800 billion boondoggle, we were projected to be and have the highest deficit in the history of the country in terms of GDP, 8.3%. You got to take World War II out of that equation because we know what happened then. Borrowing from one part of the economy and redistributing it to others will not grow the economy. And the president can talk about health care and how he wants to create another entitlement program. You saw it today. There's 45 million. He was on the stump a couple days. 45 million uninsured Americans. He wants to put $1 trillion into that. $1 trillion more that we don't have. All of these things are contributing to one thing. Government bloat. The only thing growing is government. The private sector is not growing at all. We are shrinking because there is no impetus to go make money. Why would you do it when you're going to get whacked coming and going? I don't know if that helps Kevin out or not. But this administration talks about jumpstarting the economy. $800 billion stimulus package ain't going to do it. $1 trillion health care plan ain't going to do it. Return the money to the people. We've got Gail on the line from Ashland. Hey, Gail.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. You?
Oh, I'm just fine. I just wanted to kind of make a little bit of a comment about all the things that right now Washington is trying to do.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it seems to me that their new slogan from the White House seems to be, if it ain't broke, I'll break it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand. I mean, we have enough of shared the wealth across the country with the welfare, food stamps, low-income housing, free education, and health care for the illegals.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand why that we're expected to step up more to the plate and do all the things that they're expecting from us. And people seem to say, oh, it's government money, it's free. But that government money is coming out of each of our pockets. Do they not understand?
No, they don't understand that, and nor do they care. You've got to understand the people that are running government right now, all they're concerned about is 51% of the vote. That's all they're concerned with. They can say that, this plan is for everyday working Americans. How's that working out? Everyday working Americans, how's that working out for you? You know, 6 million jobs have been lost since the recession began under Bush's watch 18 months ago. 4 million of those jobs occurred between November of 2008 and April of this year. 4 million. And they had four straight months with more than 600,000 jobs lost during that six-month stretch. What happened during that time frame? What happened in November of 2008?
Well, evidently, we did not see what was coming.
Well, what happened in November of 2008?
Well, we elected someone.
We elected a president.
Who was willing to take this to the limit and beyond. Yes.
We elected a president in November of 08. Yes. And since that time, this economy has shed 4 million more jobs. Now, people are going to say, well, yeah, listen, it's still Bush's economy. No, it's not, and you're lying to yourself.
Well,
it is not Bush's economy. People, the job creators in this country know that this president has declared war on the segment of this of the population who creates jobs. He's declared war on them. So what are they doing? They're not doing new businesses. They're not hiring anybody else. They're not growing their business. Why should they?
They don't have to, but the thing about it is, Drew, the people of this country are going to be suffering from whiplash by the time that this is finished. We are going to be in such a state that it's going to take years to turn this around, and it can be turned around, but it is going to take a tremendous effort.
Well,
the effort to get us here has not been so difficult because of the love affair with this whole situation. And I just don't understand. I mean, we need to open our eyes and see that this country is really sliding down a slippery slope, and it's going to be a lot more difficult to get us back than it is to get us down the hill.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, it has been breathtaking. You mentioned sliding. It has been breathtaking for me. Since Bush 43 bailed out the first TARP plan, go back there to this point today, that is not even a year, not even a year. And that slide has just wham, has just happened. Reagan said it best: freedom is not free; it's just a generation away from being lost. You can lose it in a generation.
We're at that generation now because there's some kind of a love affair thinking that all of this, if it's coming from the government, it's free. It's not free. Everybody across the country is going to be paying for it. And another thing that I do not like is the terrorists being read their Miranda rights on the battlefield.
Yep. We've not even got into that, but something that he promised during the election that would not happen: Miranda rights being read to terrorists. And some might say, well, you know, what's the big deal about that? Well, the big deal about it is once they are read Miranda rights, they have access to our legal system.
Can I be very, very sarcastic and tell you what the new definition of a terrorist is?
Okay, go ahead.
It's terrorist. It's Obama's Sons of Islam. I am so sick of seeing them treated like they're little Boy Scouts who do not know what they're doing.
Well, I guess we're all going to watch and see how this plays out, Gail. I appreciate the fact that you were able to call in and get that off your chest just a little bit. I hope it helped you.
Oh, it does. It definitely does. And I do appreciate your show. And I am so glad that there's someone in this area that we can talk to. And I don't mean to be overly sarcastic, but this is getting to a point of, I think, desperation for this country's safety.
Well, I know there's a lot of people that feel that way. And just hang in there, and we appreciate the fact that you're out there.
Okay, thanks a lot, Drew.
All right, Gail, take care. That was Gail from Ashland. You know, people are just, you can sense it. People are just fed up with what's happening. And, what you hear a lot is, well, let's give them time. We need to give them time to see if this works. If it's not worked now, it ain't gonna work. If it's not worked by now. And we covered it last show with what this stimulus package is doing. All it is doing is going to government. That's all. As we knew that it would. You know, and Gail talked about the illegals, and she talked about a lot of stuff. And, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it. Why do I have to provide some person that I don't know health care? Why? Keeping infrastructure, police, firemen and firewomen and road departments, I can get with that. I can be part of that quote-unquote community, and I'm more than willing to pay up for that. For that type of infrastructure, and of course the defense of our country. But why should I bust my butt for my family so that money can be transferred to me, from me, and from my family to pay for somebody that just sits home and draws a check? Why should I have to pay for that? Now, everybody out there can bash me as just insensitive. I don't really care. Some people are fortunate, and some people are not. Now, I happen to think the people that are fortunate worked really hard to get where they are. But I ask you, why do we provide health care for others that we don't even know? Why should we do that? Kevin, again on the line. Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I got a question for you.
Okay.
How you was just talking about how you're tired of supporting people.
Yeah.
I am, too.
Yep.
I've been with the company I work with going on 4 years.
Okay.
And I ain't got a raise. I ain't got nothing. I make $11 an hour. And I bust my ass, and I carry most of the people I work with.
All right, remember, this is a family show. Be careful
there. Okay. But, you know, I mean, and I get tired of that, but the people that I work with, they get raises. I ain't got one.
Well, we're up against a hard break. Let me talk about that as we go into this break. Thanks for the call once again. Appreciate you out there, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right, take care. I'm sure he busts it. You know, I don't know. That's a personal deal. I have no, I have no idea what he does. I have no idea the company he works for. I have no clue. So, I really can't speak about that. But what I was talking about was in general terms. You can always put a face to stuff and say, you know, how can you deny health care over here? Well, the fact of the matter is that nobody is denied health care. That's the common myth. You hear about, oh, they don't have health insurance, but you know what? They get health care. I don't care. Those 45 million, they get health care. They might not have health insurance, but they get health care, and there's a big difference. Just like Ironton Tribune running that thing, people calling the EMS unit so they can go get their fix. Now, what happens if the EMS unit says, not going to come get you? You've called 10 times. We know that you're a pill head. All you're wanting to do is go in there and get pills. What's going to happen then? The EMS unit will find themselves on the receiving end of a huge lawsuit. And everybody knows that. That's why they go and get them. And who pays for that? We do. You're listening to Airing It Out, 1-800-551-1057.
Right back after this break with more of Airing It Out with Drew Skaggs on the Best Country 105.7 WLGC. The Best Country 105.7 WLGC now returns you to Airing It Out. Once again, here's Drew Skaggs.
This is Airing It Out. Welcome back to the program. We've got Rick on hold. Rick, I'll be with you in 2 minutes. Let me flesh out what I was saying going into that break. According to the numbers that are cited by this administration and all over the place. There's 45 million people without health care. Now, let's be clear here. Even if that number were correct regarding health insurance coverage, there is a difference between the number of persons without health insurance and those without health care. ER departments and hospitals, by law, must provide unreimbursed care for all comers. Uninsured Americans, as well as illegal aliens. Why do you think California's broke? Why? It's because of the illegal immigrants that are there, and of course it's liberal la la land out there. So they've never met a social program that they don't want to fund. Now all of a sudden, the gravy train has stopped, but they've still got to, by law, provide these services that they themselves put into law. That's why they are broke. So while you've got many people uninsured for short periods of time, the number of chronically uninsured in reality is in between 9 and 13 million. And now this administration wants to provide health insurance, government health insurance, to at least 45 million Americans, the majority of whom do not need it. They could be in their 20s, just out of school, working their first job, bulletproof. They don't need it. They don't want it. They don't want to pay for it. But if it's free or perceived to be free, they're going to take it because it's going to undoubtedly be less expensive initially, which is how they do it, than other health insurance policies. So the people that are in households earning, let's say, $75,000 a year will jump on board. Since the Obama administration care is going to compete directly with private insurance, many other people in this group of the poor uninsured will as well. Remember, Medicare does not provide health insurance for only poor retirees, but for wealthy ones as well. Now, once he succeeds in driving private health insurance out of business, he can raise taxes to any level necessary since he will have done away with the competition. No more competition. Whatever happened to the government protecting us from monopolies that never and now doesn't include government monopolies? Because you see, they're just out for the good for people. Rick from Greenup. Hey, Rick, how are you? Is Rick not on?
I think he's gone.
I was trying to tell him we had 2 minutes there.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I just, you know, I had one of my employees came up to me a couple weeks ago, and he said, "Hey, I heard that President Obama wants to raise taxes on health insurance benefits." I said, "That's exactly right." He said, "Well, how can you do that? Those are benefits." Well, how can you raise taxes on mobile phones? How can you raise taxes on whatever it is they want to raise taxes on, which the list is endless? They can do it because they can. So they want to raise taxes on health insurance benefits in order to pay for health insurance benefits. It's robbing Peter to pay Paul. But what does it get them? It gets them two things. It gets them elected, and it gets them reelected. Actually, three things. Elected, reelected, and they've got the power. Because then government decides for us who we're going to see, the doctors we're going to see, what they will pay, what they won't pay for. And as Gail said, it's a slippery slope once you start down it, as we're getting ready to do. And they talk about how it's free government health care. You can't seriously believe that. There is nothing free, let alone health care. But as I've pointed out here time and time again, once you have somebody believe and perceive it to be free, they abuse it. After all, it's free. My kid's got sniffles. We all know that it's a common cold. You're not running a fever. Take some Tylenol and be done with it. But they're going to go to the doctor because, you see, it's free. And people think, wow, single-payer system, that'd be great. Everybody's the same. Everybody's equal. It's all fair, which is the driving ideology behind liberalism. We want things to be fair. Things should be fair for everybody. So everybody's going to get the same level of service. You've got to be kidding me. You think that's true? They tout government-run health care as giving access, everyone access, to the same health care, regardless of race, nationality, or wealth. That's not true. If you just do some study, and the British press refers what they have, whether it's called National Health Service. Okay. What the British press refers to as postcode lottery. Because a person's care varies depending on the neighborhood, i.e. postcode, in which he or she lives. Because whether you like it or not, the rich, if they're able to pay for it, are going to. It's just a fact of life. And rather than throwing stones and envying and all of this, you just realize that that's what will happen should this government-run health care eventually come to fruition. Now, they're talking about 45 million uninsured. Let's raise it to 50 million, because by the time this weeds its way through Congress, that's probably what it'll be. And Charlie Rangel today said it was going to cost over $1 trillion, which is 1,000 billion, by the way. Now, you divide 1 trillion into 50 billion or 50 million, you get $20,000 a person. That is what they're saying this is going to cost. $20,000 a year. I would hope that for $20,000 a year, you could get darn good health care. I know everybody could. Why don't we just get them the insurance that they advertise on TV? You've seen that, haven't you?
Yeah.
I mean, just get them that at $20,000 a piece. But where does that trillion come from? If it's so free, where does the trillion come from? Well, of course, it comes from taxes. That's why they're talking about raising money to pay for this boondoggle through health insurance benefits. They're going to tax that so that they can then turn around and give this to the quote-unquote those without health insurance. It's just a gigantic shell game played once again at our expense. You want to know how you get you drive health care costs down? Start with tort reform. If you bring a lawsuit and you lose a lawsuit, guess who pays? You. That would eliminate a huge percentage of these lawsuits that right now the insurance companies can't afford to fight it, because they can't afford huge judgments against them. Using our legal system to mine for gold, that's what they're in effect doing. Are there legitimate cases? Absolutely. Absolutely, there's legitimate cases, but you've got lawyers now that take it pro bono, or not pro bono, but they take it on contingency. Yeah, I'll take your case. I'll sue the insurance company because I know they're going to settle, and guess what? I'm going to get a third of it. And then who else gets a third? The government gets a third. Tort reform, and you get government out of the business. They act like government has no fingerprints on this. What is Medicare and Medicaid? That's government. But they're able to sit in D.C. and say, we need to do this for the people because the healthcare in this country needs to be reformed. Well, you're the one that set it up. It never ceases to amaze me that the ones that screwed it up to begin with are now the ones that claim, with just a trillion of your money, we can fix it this time. And they use the magical word, free. Airing It Out is free, and we can be reached 1-800-551-1057.
Airing It Out with Drew Skaggs. The show will continue after this brief pause on the best country, 105.7 WLGC. 105.7 WLGC presents Airing It Out. Now, here's your host, Drew Skaggs.
This is Airing It Out. Welcome back to the final hour of the show. We can be reached two different ways, 1-800-551-1057, should you care to comment on anything at all. Really, anything. Really? Weather, sports, cultural, whatever. Or by going to drewskaggs.com. I find this hilarious. We'll do some Hollywood news. I did Hollywood because this is really not Hollywood, but both stories take place in California. Did you see that Miss California got booted? She got fired. What do they call it? Yeah, well, it's Donald Trump. So he fired her as Miss California, who created all that stir about the right to marry, same sex marriage deal.
Right.
This is Dateline something somewhere out in California. New Miss California. Marriage between man and woman.
Ha ha!
That is great. And the sub heading underneath it says, the right thing to do is let the voters decide. Amazing that beauty queens get it. More than our judiciary, more than our Congress, more than the elected officials out in California. Beauty queens get it. Average everyday people, although beauty queens are not average everyday people, after all, they're beauty queens, right?
Right.
So by definition, they're not average everyday people.
Right.
However, they're giving voice to it, which is the people should decide. Not somebody in a black robe. Not somebody with a red power tie in Sacramento. Tammy Farrell, the newly crowned beauty queen who's replacing the ousted Carrie Prejean as Miss California, holds the same views as her predecessor. And by the way, President Obama has the same view, by the way, that marriage should be between a man and a woman. Fox News host Neil Cavuto asked Farrell, who is Christian, on his show today. Why would you mention the fact that she's Christian? What bearing does that have on this at all, other than the fact to plant the seed, she's one of those Christian right-wing kooks. That's all that's in there for.
Yeah, I don't know.
And there's no point in you know. Do they say Neil Cavuto, who's Jewish, or whatever he is? No, of course not. It's just towards her. So that's what it is. She believes the same-sex marriage should be between a man and a woman. Speaking of man to a woman, woman to a man, I don't really know. These stories always astound me. Dateline New York Daily News. Cher's daughter, Chastity Bono, is changing gender from female to male.
Girls will be boys and boys will be girls. It's a mix
really? I can't say that?
No.
I can't say add it to me?
You should.
What?
I don't think
I mean, that's
you
what
should.
She's having.
I don't think you should say that.
So you're warning me off that ledge, huh?
Yeah.
She's having it's not an appendectomy. It's an additomy.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. Cher is about to get a new son. Chastity Bono, the celebrity offspring of the singer and late husband Sony, and her late husband Sony, Sonny Bono is you two. Bono is this one.
Yes.
Is changing gender from female to male, her publicist told the Daily News. The 40-year-old, known to family and friends as Chaz, came out as a lesbian nearly two decades ago. Bono intends to make the transition from woman to man, which, by the way, is utterly impossible. She's still going to have two X chromosomes, no matter what they do to her. It. Him. He's proud of his decision and grateful for the support and respect that has already been showed by loved ones. It is Chaz's hope that his choice to transition will open the hearts and minds of the public regarding this issue, just as his coming out did nearly 20 years ago. Transitioning typically involves hormone therapy and sometimes, although not always, surgery. Well, what? It doesn't involve surgery? Have you seen her? It?
No,
him?
I haven't.
Is it really a sex change operation if no one notices the difference? Seriously, is it? Our society does way too much to accommodate crazy people. She needs a psychiatrist, not a surgeon. So, but leave it to liberals to celebrate this quote-unquote choice if Chastity... How about we ask it this way? Would liberals celebrate this choice if she had chosen to amputate her hands because she didn't like them? Would that be celebrated?
No.
I cannot find any justification for celebrating and encouraging mental illness. That's what this is. Sex cannot be reassigned, and it cannot be changed. She is a woman and always will be, whether she's mutilated through surgery or not. She's not ever going to, as her publicist says, become a man. Because every single cell in her body, i.e. DNA, will be a female one until the very day she assumes room temperature. She will be a mutilated woman. That's all. I mean, I hate to be brutally honest with this, but come on. Don't put a nice little sheen on this. This is sick stuff. And it says that it goes on to talk about how she's going to have surgery to give her male parts later this year. So did you get that? She's going to be getting male parts later this year.
Right.
There goes her chances of becoming a Republican congressman. Right out the door it goes. This is what's courageous to these people. Her being a mental case. You know, I hate to be frank and brutal about this, but man, you can't do this and try to celebrate this as a great thing. At least in my opinion. If you're attracted to the same sex, hammer down. This is America, after all. I don't care. But, man, this sort of stuff is celebrated as a great thing. I've never understood how this is such a great thing. This is a mental issue, quite frankly, that she feels the need to mutilate herself through surgery. And surgeons, their first thing is, thou shalt not do no harm. What is it? What are the surgeons? First, do no harm. Isn't that the Hippocratic Oath or whatever they call it? First, do no harm. This is harm. No matter how you slice it. But that's just my opinion. And this, man, those are some serious thunderstorms headed this way, aren't they?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
They're coming right down the pipeline.
Oh, yeah.
Great. You're listening to Airing It Out, 1-800-551-1057.
We'll be right back after this break with more of Airing It Out with Drew Skaggs on the Best Country, 105.7 WLGC. This is the Best Country, 105.7 WLGC. Now, back to Airing It Out with Drew Skaggs.
This is Airing It Out. Welcome back to the show. We can be reached 1-800-551-1057. So you've heard this Letterman thing.
Yeah.
Did you listen to his top 10 list?
I didn't hear all of it. I just saw the part where they're talking about.
Yeah, so I can cue this up. He did he's famous for these top 10 lists, and on Tuesday evening Governor Palin was in New York City, and she attended a Yankee game with her 14-year-old daughter. Willow is her name. So he does this top 10 list, and he did a couple things in it. One, he said in his top 10 list, said bought makeup from Bloomingdale's to update her slutty flight attendant look. So he called Governor Palin a slut. And then he goes on to say, one awkward moment for Sayla Palin at the Yankee game. During the seventh inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez. Now, the girl was 14 years old that Letterman spoke of here. You know, most of these liberals should not be attacking Governor Palin's looks, back to the slutty comment. All you got to do is compare Letterman's wife with Sarah Palin, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, would they, and the media has, I mean, they've tried their best. We've got audio clips of it on the other side of the break we're going to play. Lauer defending Letterman, Contessa Brewer defending Letterman, and she cuts off somebody's mic during the interview because he dared to throw it right back at her. So you've got media out there defending what Letterman said. I ask you, if Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Joe Scarborough, the token conservative over at the Kook Network, MSNBC, if they had did the same thing but substituted Malia or Sasha, the Obama twins, or the Obama daughters, do you think the media would have the same reaction? Once again, the double standard media just shows its face. I mean, see, the thing about it is it's always right there. It's under the surface. They try to pretend like they're fair and objective. But this is a prime example. If that had been made about the Obama girls, there would be a hue and an outcry for whomever said it, especially a white male, to be fired, and deservedly so. But Letterman's getting a pass. And we're going to delve into a lot of different reasons why that's happening. But he is getting a pass. You know, I don't understand what is so funny about statutory rape, but that's just me. And Letterman has just become just a bitter man. He used to be funny. I mean, I saw him in college when he was just starting to hit it. I mean, he was funny. But he did gags like throwing watermelons from the top of the Empire State Building, which doesn't sound cool until you see it hit.
Right.
I mean, it's very cool.
Yeah.
And Velcro suit where he jumps and sticks, you know, stuff like that. And he was a funny guy. And now he's just bitter. And who's at the receiving end of this? Well, of course, once again, it's Sarah Palin. They're still trying to destroy Sarah Palin. Have you seen David Letterman come up with a top 10 list where he cracks on Barack Obama? You can't find one because he won't do it. Instead, he focuses on the former vice presidential candidate. Why even focus on her? She's just a governor of a state. And he does it in just disgusting fashion. There's no other word for it, but it's fun to watch the media, one of their own, saying this. The left, the preachers to us of tolerance and inclusiveness. Once again, they show that they are the ones that are intolerant. Yet again, you're listening to Airing It Out.
Listening to Airing It Out with Drew Skaggs. The show will continue after this brief pause on the Best Country 105.7 WLGC. The Best Country 105.7 WLGC now returns you to Airing It Out. Once again, here's Drew Skaggs.
This is Airing It Out, an opinion show, and I'm offering my opinion on the David Letterman totally outrageous statements about Sarah Palin's daughter. He offered a typical non-apology when he said, "We were, as we often do, making jokes about people in the news." Really? Willow Palin's in the news? Did you know that?
No.
Other than a People cover.
Right.
And I seem to recall Bill and Hillary saying, you know, leave Chelsea out of it, and the press left her out of it. And I seem to recall Barack and Michelle Obama saying the same thing about their daughters, and the press left them out of it, as they should. Was that granted to the Bush daughters? That same degree of respect? No, it was not. And it's not practiced here. We made some jokes about Sarah Palin and her daughter, the 18-year-old, her name is Bristol, that's right, and so then now they're upset with me. These are not jokes made about her 14-year-old daughter. I would never, never make jokes about raping or having sex of any description with the 14-year-old girl. But you did, Dave. You did, didn't you? I mean, look at my record. It's never happened. I don't think it's funny. I would never think it's funny. I wouldn't put it in a joke. But he did. How was that an apology? Examine this logic for a second. First, Letterman makes a gutter joke about Palin and her 14-year-old daughter attending a Yankee game. Then, when some outrage follows, he claims he really meant to slur the other 18-year-old daughter who was back in Alaska. That's okay, you see, to slur her. And he talks about raping and having sex of any description, but just not with a 14-year-old girl. So it would have been okay with an 18-year-old girl? It makes no sense. Where is the call for his firing from the mainstream media, the double standard media? They're impartial, right? I mean, Don Imus, who was employed by the same network, CBS, albeit with CBS Radio. Which is more outrageous? Quote unquote, joking about the rape of a 14-year-old or calling adult women nappy-headed hoes? Which one's more outrageous? I dare say it's the raping of a 14-year-old girl. That is, after all, what we're talking about, even though he said knocked up. But this is how they do things, you see. John Edwards, in defending his adulterous affair, Do you remember he came on and said, "Well, listen, I did that when my wife's cancer was in remission." As if that makes it okay. It's the same thinking. It's the exact same thinking. Now, Matt Lauer had Governor Palin on and just gave it his best and just got, I mean, she just waxed the floor with him. But he did his best to defend Letterman, and we've got the clip right here.
Since David Letterman's not here, let me just say that he did not mention Willow by name, and he then went on to say he was not referring to your 14-year-old daughter. I do want to read this statement that
and
you
Matt,
were...
Go and ahead. Matt,
go ahead.
Okay, Matt, I would say that you and anybody else are extremely naive to believe that very convenient excuse of David Letterman's the other day. It took a couple of days for him to think of that excuse that, no, he wasn't talking about my daughter who was there with me at the game, the 14-year-old. He was talking about some other daughter. Well, I think that's a weak excuse. And you know, regardless, it was a degrading comment about a young woman. And I would hope that people really start really rising up and deciding it's not acceptable.
Owned. Matt Lauer is trying to defend the indefensible. Every time you do that, you get owned. And that's what Palin did to Matt Lauer. Listen, and because Letterman's not here, I've got to point this out. He didn't mention Willow by name. And she says, I would say that you and anybody else are extremely naive to believe Letterman's convenient excuse. Regardless, it was a degrading comment about a young woman. Bingo. Whether she's 14 or whether she's 18. The same respect should be given. They are the daughters of a political family. Sarah Palin is fair game. She has put herself into the political arena. Willow and Bristol Palin have not. And it's a double standard that is applied everywhere in the media. Barack Obama saying, "My family's off limits, don't talk about my family." And everybody adhered to it and left his family alone. They don't do it to the other side of the ticket. And Lauer asked if Palin's response to Letterman, that he couldn't be trusted around Willow, he asked her if that was in bad taste. What? You don't see any bad taste with David Letterman. But you think the bad taste is that Governor Palin said she wouldn't trust her daughter around David Letterman, and that is in bad taste. Not, of course, what they were talking about. Absolutely incredible. And this can be narrowed down to one fact, and one fact only. Sarah Palin's children are not off limits simply because she is a conservative. Plain and simple. That's the only reason. If Letterman had said that Sasha is slutty and the other one had relations with A-Rod in the dugout, it would be a sum total of 5 seconds before he's down at Gitmo next to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and getting waterboarded. That's how long it would be. But what we have here is the media lamely attempting to defend the indefensible. So we need to get this straight. The last thing that occurred like this was Don Imus talking about the Rutgers women's basketball program. So now in this world of political correctness, where liberals are the ones that make the rules up, an off-limit joke, under no circumstances can this joke be made, making fun of the hairstyle of a black girl. That is entirely off-limits. However, what is an acceptable joke, and Matt Lauer and others like him are going to great lengths to try to defend Letterman. An acceptable joke is the rape of a young white girl. As I said, brutal and frank, but how can you not draw any other conclusion than this? This was so despicable that even the National Organization of Women, the NOW Gang, issued a very brief statement attacking Letterman, which has hell froze over? Because I've never thought I'd see the day there. But it was so despicable that even NOW decided to take Letterman to task. So at first, most of the liberals just they pretended the controversy that was a grassroots controversy that hit the net, and that's how it started. They wanted to pretend that this tasteless joke didn't exist. But then Letterman, in Midway, does a switcheroo, clarifying, quote-unquote, that he was only making fun of Palin's 18-year-old daughter, Bristol. As if that's perfectly acceptable. He said those were not jokes about her 14-year-old daughter. These were jokes about her 18-year-old daughter. So he thinks it's okay to joke about raping an 18-year-old girl. I'm just taking him at his words. That's what he has said. And I haven't even touched on the slutty flight attendant look. Which, if he's going to say that, then I'm going to say, listen, Dave, you got all the money in the world. What are you doing with that Elliot Spitzer lookalike with the John Denver haircut for your wife? But I won't go down that path. Even though I did. But like all the other nut jobs on the left, Letterman is obsessed with Sarah Palin to this day. She drives liberals even more bananas than they already are because she's everything that they're not. She's beautiful, intelligent, quick-witted, classy, vigorous, in her defense of her family, charming, she's funny, successful, and happily married. And they can't stand it. And that's why I say they're miserable people, for the most part. Liberals are. Now I know some, I'm talking about liberals on the national scene. You know, I know there's plenty of liberals around here that I know that are very happy people. And I'm not trying to pigeonhole that. So we had Contessa Brewer. She's on MSNBC, correct? Isn't she on?
Yes.
Yeah, she's on MSNBC. She has this guy on called his name's John Ziegler, who Ziegler did a documentary on Palin. So right off the bat, Brewer is mad at him, and she has just asked incredible questions. Now, just put yourself in these shoes. What if Contessa Brewer was asking somebody, had somebody on that was trying to defend, or had somebody on to talk about comments made about the Obama daughters? Would she take the same line of questioning that she does in this interview? Let's go ahead and play. Do you know where to cut it? Because I don't.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
And John Ziegler joins me now. He's a radio host with KGIL, 1260 AM News Radio in Los Angeles, and has previously interviewed Palin and others for his film Media Malpractice, How Obama Got Elected. John, good to see you.
Thanks for having me. Always interesting to go out with the people with Barack Obama's official network.
Now, I know you're very critical of the way that journalists in general have dealt with Governor Palin. I want to ask you today about your interview with Sarah Palin.
Gee, I wonder why.
So let me begin with... Do you want to do the interview? You want to talk about this?
Yeah, I'd be thrilled to.
So she's off base right off the bat because he's not taking it. He's not taking it from her. You know, she says, I want to talk about Governor Palin. Gee, I wonder why. I wonder why that would be. And she does work for a network that is nothing but the mouthpiece for liberalism. I mean, you ever watched Olbermann? I mean, the guy's a nut job. I mean, that's his network. So she's thrown off guard within the first 30 seconds because she's got a guest on here that is not going to take it. He's throwing it right back at her.
Yeah, let's go
for it. Let me ask you what Sarah Palin's problem with Letterman was. What was it about the top 10 list that hurt her feelings?
Hurt her feelings? What? Could you imagine that? What was it about the top 10 list that Letterman did that hurt Malia and Sasha's feelings? Or Michelle Obama's feelings? Do you think that would even be asked? Of course it wouldn't be. This coming from a woman wants to know what was wrong with it. She's giving her approval to the raping of 14-year-old girls. Right there. She knows what it's about. And she wants to know, what's wrong with it? Why is her feelings hurt? Am I missing something here?
No.
That's exactly, she knows what the, that's why she's got this guy on here.
Yeah.
And she wants to know, what's the problem? I don't see a problem.
Well, I don't know if her feelings were hurt. You'd have to ask her. She called David Letterman pathetic, which I think was an understatement, because not only did he call her slutty, you left out the part where he also joked about her teenage daughter being knocked up by Alex Rodriguez in the middle of Yankee Stadium while she was at the game.
Which is what they wanted to focus on. They wanted to focus on the slutty comment, slutty flight attendant comment, which was her deal there. Her question was, see, she stepped right in it. Her question was, why is her feelings hurt? Why? She just got called a slutty flight attendant. Why would that hurt your feelings? See, the bait and switch is, we're going to focus on this over here, but we're going to pay no attention at all to the raping of her daughter, which Letterman found funny. And Ziegler says, you're not going to get away with this. Okay, we're not talking about the slutty flight attendant comment, which Governor Palin, to her credit, said, I don't know why they're picking on flight attendants. Which is just great, which is just, once again, just drives them bonkers about that. So it's a bait and switch. We're going to focus on this comment and try to ignore this one over here.
In this case, it's comedy. To talk about her real itinerary in New York, it's kind of serious, not really funny. Why did she take such offense? She called him pathetic, so she obviously took offense. Why was she so offended by David Letterman?
Are you kidding me? You cannot be serious, Contessa Brewer. Seriously. Once again, it was comedy, after all. So was Don Imus. Why is she offended? See, the thing is, she really doesn't understand why she's not offended, why she's offended with this. She really can't understand it.
Well, Contessa, since you're a female, you might be a better expert on whether or not it's appropriate to call a public figure slutty for no apparent reason, and to joke about her daughter being knocked up in the middle of Yankee Stadium while she's at the game. How would you feel about that,
that's
Contessa?
That's actually happened to me, and I'm fine. I'm still here.
Really? David Letterman joked about you being slutty and about your daughter being knocked up?
But it's happened to me publicly.
Listen, I'm still here. It's happened to me publicly. Really? Where, Contessa? Have you got a 14-year-old daughter that happened to, that David Letterman made fun of? And Ziegler just nails her. And she is just losing it through this entire interview. Is she not? You can just,
yeah.
I mean, she's just madder than a hornet.
I don't really know what to do with that. You know what? I'm here to give you an opportunity. I consider myself a common sense thinker. I haven't attacked you. And for you to come on and use those sort of insults me. Thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate that.
Okay.
Much more news ahead on MSNBC.
Cut the mic. She cut him off. She lost it. She considers herself a common sense thinker. And she was insulted. When she can look at the Letterman thing and say, what's the big deal here? Why are you insulted? But you get somebody on there that actually won't let her get away with what she was getting away with, and she cuts his mic off and talks about how she's insulted. But she has no idea why in the world a mother would be insulted about the raping of her daughter. Typical liberal double-standard media person, angry, hostile, and classless to a conservative. Happens all the time. You're listening to Airing It Out.
We'll be right back after this break with more of Airing It Out with Drew Skaggs on the Best Country, 105.7 WLGC. This is the Best Country, 105.7 WLGC. Now, back to Airing It Out with Drew Skaggs.
This is Airing It Out. It's been a fun show tonight, hasn't it?
Yeah,
Lots of phone calls, lively banter.
Yeah.
Got a, you know, the phone calls we put on the air, you can times them by about four by the people that call in and don't want to go on the air. Would it be three or four, somewhere in there?
Somewhere around there.
Somewhere. I'm texting a good friend of mine. All right, he asked me, Letterman versus Imus, which was worst? Which was worse? And I said, who lost their job? I know, but whose comment was worse? If the same thing was said about Obama's kids, would Sharpton have reacted? Oh, come on. Sharpton would have been, he would have been marching 5 minutes later. They'd have thrown Letterman right under the bus. Are you kidding me? You know better than that. I'm not even going to mention you by name, although I should. I'm not going to do it. I'm gonna stay away from it. Time for the world famous stupid stuff.
Oh, how come things that happen to stupid people keep happening to me?
Dateline Seattle, dog doesn't just say no and gets stoned at park. A dog that ran off from its owner in Seattle's Seward Park found and ate some marijuana and got high. Owner Jen Waddle told King TV that 11-year-old black lab mix named Jack was stoned May 12th. After they returned home from the park, the dog's eyes glossed over. He had trouble walking. The vet said Jack had swallowed a large amount of dried, harvested marijuana after some medication to induce vomiting, or vomiting, as some might say, and a night of rest, Jack was back to normal. Waddle told police about the dogs, about the drugs, and joked they could borrow Jack to find them if they paid the $1,500 vet bill. Are you serious? $1,500 to get the dog to puke and watch him overnight? I'm in the wrong business. What a waste. Instead of having his best night of sleep ever, he gets to throw up pizza, Cheetos, and some good music. And Jack would have been just fine. $1,500. Wow. I saw this in Fox News. They had a poll that they ran. You know, that's the poll question. We used to do poll questions of the day.
Yeah.
And we'll do that one of these days again soon. However, they had a poll. And the poll, the respondents were asked whether or not they believed that Barack Obama was still sneaking cigarettes at the White House.
Spoken!
I mean, the people on the comments on this, they went bonkers. I mean, furious doesn't even begin to describe how they were with this. But I could care less about that. What interested me was what the respondents said in the poll. And I didn't bring my reading glasses. This was asked June 9th and 10th, so it was a two-day poll. And they broke it down into three different categories. Still smoking, completely quit, don't know. Okay?
Yeah.
Democrats, 37% think he's still smoking. Republicans, 38% think he's still smoking. Independents, 38% say he's still smoking, which is great, because when do you ever see a poll when Republicans, independents, and Democrats all agree?
You never do.
You never do. Until, of course, you're talking about Obama and the slags. Dateline, mailonline.com. This is from the UK. We got number 9 ready to go again?
Yeah.
Because it's apropos once again. Parents hound the Muslim school secretary they thought was a man.
Girls will be boys and boys will be girls. It's a mixed up muddled up shook up world. It's a muddle. La 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 la.
Angry parents hounded a woman out of her job at a Muslim girls' school because they believed she was a man. Shifa Patel, a 28-year-old secretary, was accused of hiding her masculinity beneath a traditional headscarf and robes. The hate campaign started when photographs of a short-haired Ms. Patel wearing a shirt and trousers were spotted on Facebook. They were copied and emailed to dozens of concerned parents as proof that Patel was a man. In a bid to defuse the rumors, she underwent a humiliating medical examination to prove that she was, in fact, a woman. But parents refused to believe the results, and they stormed the school, where police were called. Sergeant John Rigby of Lancashire Constabulary of Lancashire Cop is what it was, said, quote, police were called to the school after reports that people were trying to damage the school. When we arrived, there was a group of people outside the door. I must point out that neither the school nor the mosque was raided. So that's the main thing. Listen, we did not raid the mosque. Whatever you think, we didn't raid the mosque. So that's just kind of interesting. An all-girls Islamic school in London. Didn't the president say that they're the religion of that they're very tolerant in their religion?
I think so.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
But when you look at real life, yeah, not so much. Listen, I was at Taco Bell. Does Taco Bell advertise on?
No.
Come on, Taco Bell, step it up. All right.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Taco Bell.
Me too. Yeah.
Well, I'm a big. I like to cook. I like to grill and all that. Okay. There was two things. I was standing in line waiting on my order, and I'm back there watching them make it. There's two things I want from Taco Bell. The first one is a meat rake. Have you seen this thing?
No.
It's a scooping device for the beef, obviously. So you've got a pile of the yummy ground beef, just absolutely yummy.
Yeah.
And it's just a scoop. You just
Wow.
Oh, it's beautiful. I don't know how you can get it. I mean, it's relatively big, but I think it would fit in a large size cast iron pan. I would love to get a Taco Bell meat rake. And this does fall under stupid stuff. And the other thing that is just it's magnificent. The sour cream gun.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. How do you get your hands on that?
I have no
because
clue.
They've got the gun. You know, it looks like a caulking gun is what it looks like,
kinda,
but it's
does
not
it.
Long like a, you know, it's right. it's I mean it's I mean it's put together well.
It's cool.
And you put those sour cream things just and you snap them in there and you got that sour cream gun. I mean, you have people over cooking Mexican. How cool would that be to pull out the sour cream gun?
That would be cool.
Huh? And just
yeah.
Oh man.
Keep a little sour cream gun holster on your belt.
Yeah, I mean, that would be so cool. And people would just be like, where'd you get that? Wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I know I would.
Of course, yeah.
Listen, I'm not advocating anything, you know, but Taco Bell employees, you know, I'm down here Sunday and Wednesday nights. I'm not saying anything. I'm sure that down there you can buy whatever you want to buy, and if that's included in that, that would be very cool. I could definitely give away some T-shirts for that. Kind of a swap deal.
Yeah.
They would have to, once again, we're not advocating anything here, but they would have to clear that with management. But they would get spoken favorably on the show.
Yeah, but then if you had the gun, how hard would it be to find the little packets for the sour cream? I mean, that's...
You have to just rain on my parade, don't you? I don't know. I don't know. They've got a supplier somewhere.
Yeah, they make them, so, you know. I don't know. Maybe they can help you with that, too. Just tell you where to get it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I could pose as a Taco Bell guy. Regional manager here.
Yeah.
Listen, I need some of those sour cream things. And while you're at it, some guac. That would be, because you could just do both of them.
I had a friend that worked at Taco Bell, and she gave me her name tag, so I could, you know, kind of work it out.
You need to go down there, put that on, get the brown jersey working, and go down there and just work it like you own the place.
Yeah.
You know, and just say you're a regional guy, and, you know, what you're down there for is for quality control. You're going to inspect some things, and you need to take some things with you to do that. Of course, we would compensate them.
Right.
Would we not? I mean, they would be. We're not as nothing underhanded here.
Right.
And you would, and you could say, look, there's two things that for this visit alone that I want to take a look at: the meat rake and the sour cream gun.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's brilliant.
That's a great idea.
That is one of those grilling things that you're just the envy of the neighborhood if you would have those two things.
Oh yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And you could use it for vegetables. I mean, you know, the possibilities are endless here.
Oh, I know.
And imagine how many of them are at a Taco Bell. I mean, you know, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
That's why it's called the world famous stupid stuff. But I would. Oof, that would be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah. So the next edition of Airing It Out. What is tonight?
Tonight's Sunday.
Tonight is Sunday. Oh. Yeah. I work so hard at this program, I just lose all track of time. Sunday night is tonight. So the next live edition of Airing It Out will be this Wednesday evening. We hope that you can tune in then and continue the conversation. As for this evening, thanks so much for listening.
You've been listening to Airing It Out with Drew Skaggs, a presentation of the best country, 105.7 WLGC.